welcome into the program the voice of Atlanta United, Mike Connie, who joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Mike.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Sounds like your little horse, Mike Conti, doing a little screaming last night.
I'm good. I'm good. Did a little throat coat and red wine, and that seemed to fix me. So I'll be good to go today to do sports flashes.
No question about that. But, Mike, I have to ask this question, man. With Joseph Martinez scoring that 27th goal that he scored last night, it looked like he's going to just crush that record. Does it feel like the pressure for Atlanta United has ramped up even more to, like, win championship or bust at this point?
Interesting question. I honestly haven't gotten that yet. And I think you might be onto something there, Hugh, because, I mean, there were really high expectations put on the club even before the season began. They had kind of this charming expansion season where they set all these records with attendance and goal-scoring records for expansion teams, and then they were knocked out very quickly in the postseason. Everyone thought, you know, the move to bring in Barco and pay $15 million for him, and then to bring in Nagby, that this was kind of going to be the year for Atlanta United to at least get a trophy, whether it be Supporters Shield or MLS Cup or U.S. Open Cup. And now they're in full control of everything. I mean, they picked up 3 points on a weekend where their closest pursuers dropped points. So it's all out there in front of them. If they win the rest of their matches, they win the league. But as far as pressure is concerned, you know, I'm really not sure. I think this team has a lot of confidence, and I think they have a lot of confidence that they can rise to the challenge when their backs are against the wall. And here again yesterday, saw a lot of resiliency from this club. They give up a goal early in the second half, very nice goal by Jozy Zardes. After you're in control of the match, suddenly you find yourself even at one, and they were able to dig deep and get two of the best goals of the season. I think Tito Villalba's goal was the best goal ever scored at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Almiron's goal, which, by the way, could have been the record for Joseph, absolutely could have been the record, but he left the ball off for Almiron to run onto it at the penalty spot and strike it. Higher percentage chance, but that could have been goal 28. I'd love to see the selflessness from Joseph there. And they came back and they won the game. And here now, guys, Atlanta United 9-0-1 this season in a match following a game in which they dropped points. That's really incredible.
It is incredible. Mike Conti, play-by-play voice of Atlanta United with John and Hugh. And I know you said he left it off for him. It was a great play by Joseph to leave it off for Miggy. But how much, and I know he'll get the record, but how much is it important to this team? Because I think there's a bit of a debate going on as to whether or not it is that other people get involved. And to see Tito and Miggy get back on the sheet again in terms of getting goals in, I think is a positive sign for everybody, don't you?
Yeah, I'm a little bit torn on that because I do agree it would be good to get other guys involved in the goal scoring, but yet Atlanta United has led the league in goals, and Joseph Martinez coming into yesterday had scored 52% of all the goals for the club this season. So I guess it's really not that big a deal if you're still leading the league in goals and Joseph's scoring all of them, right? But I think for two reasons it was good to see Almiron score. I think one, from a mental standpoint, he just really needed that. His finishing up until yesterday had really not been great. He had been denied a couple weeks ago by the Toronto keeper. The Columbus keeper made a big, big save on him as well yesterday. To finally kind of break through and break that goal-scoring drought, I get the feeling that the goals are going to really come in buckets now for Miguel Almiron, and that's a good sign. And I think it's huge to see Tito Villalba score a goal like that, too. You know, here's a guy who's had horrible luck with injuries dating back to the preseason. Tito has played himself back into the 11, and he's put himself in a position where he can't be taken out of the 11 right now, and that could mean that you could continue to see Barco coming off the bench, or maybe Gressel coming off the bench right now. But two very important goals. I honestly believe, though, John, you know, as much buzz as there is about Joseph and the record and the fact that he could get it Friday in Orlando, I really think Joseph and the rest of the club, I really believe this. They aren't even thinking about that. Their sights right now are on that Supporters Shield, continuing to get 3 points, because if you win the Supporters Shield and you make the MLS Cup final, it's going to be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
You know, in the postgame, there was alluded that Tata Martino felt that there were some lapses, defensive lapses during the course of the game. Mike Conti, could you point out some of those lapses that happened during the course of the game or the match yesterday?
I think that's a little bit coach speak from Tata. I thought the defending was really good. I mean, Parker saved the day on one chance. the Zardes goal, you know, I wasn't really thrilled to see the way that unfolded, but I think you also have to tip your cap to Jozy Zardes, along with Joseph Martinez, is one of the best goal scorers in MLS. In fact, he came in to the weekend fourth in MLS in goals, so that was his 15th of the year. He made a good individual play. I like the fact that after they scored the third goal, they kind of had the match locked down. Columbus did create an opportunity after the second goal. I even pounded my fist against the table in the booth. I said, guys, I snapped into Larry Munson mode for a second. I said, guys, can't let up against Columbus. But here's the thing, though, Hugh. Columbus is really, really good. They have incredible technical ability. That was a very high-quality match. And Columbus, I think, trying to figure out maybe a strategy against Atlanta United. They had not scored a goal in the run of play against Atlanta United in over 400 minutes before Zardes did it. Very, very possible these clubs will meet again in the postseason because Columbus is probably locked into the number four spot. So Greg Berhalter went with a really attacking lineup and really trying to attack and play direct, especially in the second half. And that's going to create some defensive challenges. But I like the fact that Atlanta United, against a very good club, has won the season series 5-1 on aggregate, 2-0 against them.
We're talking with Mike Conney, talking about the great goals. All three goals were extremely beautiful plays yesterday by Atlanta United. The 1-on-3 from Joseph Martinez to tie the record, Tito Villalba with a tremendous run almost from midfield and down in through the face of the goal, and then the drop-off to Miggy Almiron. So, clicking on all cylinders here, and doing so without a number of their stars still. They have four players that are continue to be injured. Barco is not, of course, really part of the mix at the moment here. Do you have any updates on any of the guys in terms of being able to get your full complement at any point here in the near future, Mike? Have you heard anything?
Yeah. I think they're optimistic that they'll get Nagy back before the end of the regular season. I think they're hoping that maybe Garza could come back by the time the postseason rolls around. Doesn't really look good for Mikey Ambrose right now. Doesn't really look good for Sal Zizo unless you make a really, really deep postseason run. They brought Jose Hernandez up onto the first team yesterday and put him into the 18. Hernandez has been playing internationally with Venezuela for their U-20s. He was in the 18 yesterday to give them some depth there at left back and right back. And when I saw Chris McCann go down with that shoulder injury, I started to get a little bit nervous because Atlanta United is very, very thin back there right now. And Andrew Willer-Amanu was not in the lineup yesterday. But I would point this out, too, John. Eric Rometty is going to be very, very difficult to take out of the starting 11 when Darling Nagy comes back. I think Rometty has been just so solid with his possession, with his passing, being the physical presence that we hoped he would be. Very, very strong defending. Very, very good facilitating. And Tata Martino is going to have a very difficult decision to make. How is he going to be able to keep Eric Rometty out there on the pitch when Darlington Nagy comes back?
All right, final question for me, Mike. Let's talk about Friday's game against Orlando City. I mean, the last time we were there, we saw all the trash on the field and all the trash talking and all the, you know, fakeness from Orlando City. I mean, do we expect more of that kind of crap this week?
Well, they got to try something because they stink right now. I mean, they are 1-13-1 over their last 15 matches. Sasha Christian, who has won the captain's armband for them, didn't even go to their last game against DC United. The one thing I would say about Orlando, though, even though they've only gotten 4 out of a possible 45 points out of their last 15 matches, they've lost a lot of games late. So don't rule anything out Friday night down there. It'll be a hostile environment, but boy, if Joseph Martinez were to break the record in Orlando, can you imagine? Can you imagine what that would be like and how, I don't want to say embarrassing, but how devastating it would be for their fans down there if it happened in that stadium?
No. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Just hope they don't throw anything at him.
Oh, God. Well, Tommy, who knows? I think a lot of tensions have cooled. I think both clubs have really been trying to kind of ease the tensions between the fan bases, so hopefully it'll be okay on Friday. I'm certainly looking forward to going down there. Honestly, I know this can make me unpopular in Atlanta. It's my favorite stadium in MLS next to Mercedes-Benz. It's a great atmosphere there.
All right. I do appreciate it, Mike. Thanks. I know you've had a busy time and heck of a weekend. Great job, sir. By the way.
It was worth it. A labor of love. See you guys.
Yeah, Mike Conney, hardest working guy in show business. What a weekend he had. Friday night he's doing the pre and post game for the Falcons, right? And then, of course, Saturday has three games, I think two or three games to do, and the Corky Kell. And then Sunday does the Atlanta United game. He's been basically just had a cot down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium and living for the last, like, 72 hours and does a
– He's the man. He gets it done.
He is the man. He is the hardest working man in radio. And National Radio Day being today, that has got Mike Conney's name written all over it. Of course, it is a Falcons Monday, and we're talking a lot about United and about the struggles of the Braves and about, I think, mostly the good of the Atlanta Falcons. But those aren't the only stories that are making news. Oh, we got stuff in the Wendy Zone next. As we continue on the morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.